Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 963. This is your host, Danny. And on this episode, we're going to have daily conversations. Yes, I recorded my phone conversation with Paris, and we spoke about a lot of things. One, about online harassment. For the past, you know, a couple episodes, he spoke about that. And it's a great conversation, I think. And I still back up Paris all the way. But he spoke about that for a few minutes, but we definitely talked about Gears 5. Is it a successful game, even with the game available for Xbox Game Pass? We spoke about that. We spoke about a little bit of Borderlands 3, not much, super, super quick. Also, the changes that might be coming to E3 2020. Is it a good idea to make that change and make it close to Gamescom? Is a great conversation. I hope you guys like it. And of course, Throwback Thursdays. We're going to be doing this now from now on. I'm going to be posting an audio that I recorded over 18 years ago in New York City during the Nintendo GameCube era. I spoke to Nintendo about the GameCube and I was very nervous. Just be prepared. I was extremely, extremely nervous. And this was recorded over 18 years ago. People have been liking that I've been posting a lot of like old stuff on the podcast, and of our listeners wants to see more of that on a podcast. So I'm definitely going to be doing that. So yeah, that's our new segment, Throwback Thursdays. We are going to be posting some old content during the early days of Gamertag Radio and even before Gamertag Radio. You're not going to find it nowhere else, only here on GTR. So first, let's start with daily conversations.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Hello.
Hey. Hey, what's up? What's up, man? Good morning, Paris.
Good morning.
Daily Conversations back. We haven't recorded together since what, last week? Something like that?
Yeah, it was a week ago.
Yeah. Just got back from LA. Horrible flying experience ever.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was stuck in Charlotte for like 24 hours. Insane, man. Never been through a situation like that ever, but at least they got me a hotel and food and everything. So that's a good part about it. So what's up with you, man?
Just getting these kids ready to go to school, man.
Oh, snap. Okay. Yeah. Well, so let's talk about this, man. So a couple of things. Getting a lot of feedback about your last two episodes, so we're going to keep it very short. Yes or no. Were you surprised about the reaction?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I guess I would just simply say this.
Yeah.
People hear what they want to hear. Let's just say that. No. Let me start with this way.
Okay.
95% of the feedback has been very positive and supportive, and there's been certain people that have reached out to me privately to thank me that I appreciate, you know, by me basically speaking up because it's just the right thing to do. That 5% that is very upset at me, I would simply say to them, you're hearing what you want to hear, because I was very clear that I knew I was generalizing. I said it a couple times. And I also said that it is the majority, not all, the majority. So
agreed.
I would say to those people that are upset, take a look in the mirror. Really, you know, when I'm getting 3 and 4, 5 page explanations trying to defend yourself, what are you defending yourself against? If you're not racist, if you're not a bully, if you're not harassing people online, it's not your problem, right?
Right.
I mean, it's pretty simple. I don't think there's any reason to defend racism or harassment. Just because I said the majority of white males are the ones that are doing it, and that the majority of white males don't know what real harassment looks like, it's truth. Sorry,
yeah.
It just is. Yeah. And I'm sorry that offends you that I would openly say that, because it's the dirty secret that all of us already know. So I'm not saying anything that's crazy. I'm not racist for stating something that's the truth. And when I say that a middle-aged white man in America doesn't know what real harassment looks like, I mean that. And I stand by that. I will die on that hill all day, because you don't. You know, we got some feedback. We had some quote-unquote middle-aged white men send us feedback and describe their forms of harassment. And I understand that. I sympathize with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking anything away from that. Of course, white males can also be harassed. But when I say you don't know what real harassment is, because of your accent or the way that you dress or the particular neighborhood that you're in or the sport that you're trying to participate in, maybe you get harassed or bullied because you're doing that. But and I'm a curse right here, so you might bleep it or whatever.
Here you go.
But there's an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm years ago with Larry David and JB Smooth's character. He was like, Larry, you just got to be another mother. Just become another mother. He says that, right? In other words, Larry, you're a white guy. You could just be somebody else and you're good. I can't be another mother because I'm always going to be a black dude.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So this is the point I'm trying to make. You can talk in a different accent. You can put on a different pair of clothes. You can go to a neighborhood that isn't going to harass you, and you're going to be fine. Where me as a black man, doesn't matter where I go, doesn't matter what I wear, doesn't matter what I say, I'm always going to be a black guy, and I'm always going to be judged for it. And that's my entire point.
Okay.
So people can get upset with me all they want. That's fine. And it's a small percentage of people that are upset.
It's very small. It's very small. But like the majority has been positive. So
yeah. It's all been fine. Trust me, I'm not changing my stance at all. But what I would say to those people that are upset that I said something, go back and listen to what I said. Listen. And that was the whole point I was trying to make. Being the majority, being the oppressor, you don't get to flip the tables on us and tell us that we're not supposed to be outraged or speak out about it. What you need to do is listen to the stories that are happening. There's somebody on a motorcycle, but you need to listen to the stories that people are saying. That's all it comes down to. Listen to what we are saying.
No, I agree.
I'm not calling you racist. I'm not calling you a bully unless you are. If you are, then you know you are. So maybe that's why you're mad. Other than that, I don't get it.
Okay. We're going to move on because, you know, I think you said enough. The three episodes already, man. You know
I can talk all day. Let me be clear on something.
Yeah,
I'm not going to stop talking about this.
Yeah.
So I hope people don't think this is the end. Talk about this.
Yeah.
If someone comments at me and we want to have a dialogue, we can do that. But don't think this was a publicity stunt or I'm just trying to create controversy. It's just the truth. And if the truth hurts, I'm sorry.
Hey,
all I can say.
I'm supporting you all the way, dude. You know how it is, man. So, but here's some video game topics, Paris. So, Gears of War has been out now, what, for 2 weeks, right? It's been like 2 weeks or so.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, here's the conversation that a lot of people are having. By the way, great game. Contender to Game of the Year, in my opinion. Phenomenal story, campaign. Everything is good. Now, people are bringing up this conversation because Microsoft announced a couple of days ago that this has been one of the most successful Gears of War game ever. There was, I believe, like what, over 3 million players playing this game, right? But then if you look at the UK sales, this is only UK, it was the worst performance ever for a Gears of War game. So my question to you, and we're going to have this conversation right now, is it a successful game still, even though it has low Steam sales and also the UK sales retail-wise?
Yeah, I talked about this on the last episode.
Oh, I did.
You can't factor in Steam because a lot of people that are just 100% dedicated to Steam and that's where they play all their PC games, they've never played Gears of War before. They've never played Gears.
That's
because
true.
Even when the original Gears was on PC, that was through Windows, the Windows Store. That wasn't through Steam. It's never been on Steam. So there's the majority of people on that platform have never experienced it, and you're asking them to jump in on Part 5. So that doesn't shock me. And the hugest factor in all this is Game Pass, because that's where the majority of people are most likely playing this game right now.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even say majority, but I should say a huge chunk, especially when it comes to digital sales. So the UK charts aren't going to reflect Game Pass numbers, things like that. I mean, they're looking, I think, isn't the UK just looking at physical sales?
Yeah, it's just physical. Yeah, physical sales.
Yeah, and there you go, because we're transitioning to a digital era. So even if someone's not buying this game through Game Pass, they're most likely getting it through digital store. You know what I'm saying? They're buying it straight off their Xbox, or if they're playing on PC, maybe through the Windows Store or whatever. But the point is, there's so many factors now that come into this. I actually lean more towards what Microsoft's numbers are saying, because Microsoft is obviously looking at Game Pass as well. They're including that in there. So the fact that they got 3 million people playing it in the Xbox One era is something for them to celebrate, because they've not had a lot of wins in the Xbox One era. Now, I guarantee you, if we go back to the peak 360, these people will laugh at these numbers, because I guarantee you, at the peak of Halo or the peak of Gears, they had way more people playing at any one time during the 360 era than they do now on Xbox One. But that's just a sign of the time. So it's kind of like I said on the last episode, this is the first salvo into Microsoft fixing their reputation for exclusive titles. I mean, Gears 5 is a fantastic game. It's a Game of the Year contender. And, you know, as we go into the next generation, because this is, for all intents and purposes, this is the last big game for the Xbox One, right? So this is kind of the send-off for the Xbox One. Now we're going to start looking at the next gen, which will be Scarlet, obviously PC gaming, things like that. So that's where Halo Infinite comes in, all that. So, yeah, I don't really look at the UK charts or the Steam sales and see that as a failure, because this is just the first entry into it. People need to actually get used to the fact that you can get Microsoft games through Steam. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know the Master Chief Collection is going to be the next one that's going to be on Steam. So we'll be curious to see how many people jump on that. And let's remember, Halo does have a legacy on PC. So there will be a lot of old cats like us that remember playing, you know, like Halo 2 and all that on PC back in the day. So that'll be interesting to see. Obviously, Reach coming to PC, I think, is going to be a big deal. as well, especially after I got hands-on with it at Gamescom. So, we talked about this before, but the future for what Xbox is doing is bright.
Yep,
I like
yep.
the roadmap that they're going, the vision that they're trying to accomplish. And to be pretty frank about it, they're the only video game publisher right now that could actually pull this off, because they own Windows. Windows is their platform, and they're leveraging Windows as being a second gaming platform for them. And it's very smart.
Yeah. And look, I've been living here now for over a week now in New York, and also I was in Los Angeles over the weekend, and I got to see Gears of War 5 marketing, like ads everywhere, billboards in LA, here in New York. If you take the train, if you go to Times Square, you'll see like billboards or posters of the game, but it doesn't say buy this game now. It says play it on Xbox Ultimate Game Pass or just Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass. Remember, for the gamers, because I've been reading too on Twitter, people saying, oh, but how? You guys wasted so much money on creating this game and marketing and all this stuff. How's that going to be enough? Like, how Microsoft is going to get the profit from that? You know, and this is long-term, dude, because remember, this is a first-party game. Yes, maybe somebody just paid maybe $10 now to just play this game and just stop. Unsubscribe after that, right? Let's make believe. But if you think about it long term, this is an Xbox exclusive. So a year, 2 years, 5 years from now, that game is still going to be available on Xbox Game Pass no matter what. And people could just sign up and start playing it. And just think about it. The more subscribers Microsoft gets, paying $10 an hour, $10 a month, or even for the whole year, slowly, long term, they are going to see profits from that, man. Think of it as like, you know, Disney creating Disney for the streaming service, Disney Plus, creating all these shows, right? Super cheap. It's going to take some time for the company to actually profit, I believe, with like what, four years or so, right, Paris? Something mm-hmm. like that?
Yeah.
And remember, Game Pass, this is a very early stage of Xbox Game Pass. Imagine when once they start adding S Cloud, and then they start adding this service also for the next, for the next console, Project Scarlet. The profit is gonna go insane. It's gonna go up. There's gonna be people that have never gonna buy an Xbox gaming console, or don't have a PC, but they have a tablet, they have a phone, and they are willing to pay $10 or even a little bit more just to play a game like Halo or Gears of War. So yeah, you know what? Microsoft is gonna get major profit on this in the future. This is the early stages. Paris, perfect example. We were at E3. That's all we got to see all over the Microsoft Theater. All over E3 was they were pushing Game Pass. It wasn't buying out the store. People also gotta think the bigger picture, not just what's going on at the moment. You know what I'm saying? So I think this is a huge success for Microsoft, and this is really early. I think that it's going to get even bigger once more games comes out, once they launch Project X Cloud. It's going to be big, a really big service for Microsoft, I think.
No, I mean, I think it will be. I'm still curious to see X Cloud, how they're going to price it.
Yeah, I agree.
That would just be my big thing. I mean, again, one very smart thing they're doing is your Xbox sitting at home can be an xCloud server, like your own private server to be able to stream your games that you own. But I'm looking more at the casual audience, how they're going to market that out to them and price it out to them. But
yeah,
so we'll see. But I think we're talking way too much about Xbox. So
no, I get
it. Xbox. But one thing I want to move on to is next week, they're doing a Last of Us 2 event. Here in LA,
I heard it's a three hour hands on. That's what I heard.
Yeah. So I'm curious because look, we ain't gone, but I'm curious what you think. What are your expectations coming out of that?
I think we're gonna learn more about the campaign. I hope they don't reveal too much because I love that mystery about the game. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's 3 hours, Paris. That's a lot of information, dude, for 3 hours. I'm wondering what the journalists are allowed to talk about within those 3 hours, you know? Because typically when we go to an event, we play a game for like what? All day? And then they'll tell us, okay, you only could put like an hour from that gameplay footage to your YouTube or to your Twitch or stream service. Just make sure to edit it. So I'm wondering, how's that going to work? You know, because I think the majority of people that are attending this event are all major gaming journalists, you know? So maybe some big YouTubers too, they're probably going to have there, you know? So I'm curious, what do you think? What do you think they're going to show at this event?
Yeah, I mean, like I didn't even realize they were doing a 3 hours hands-on. So that'll be curious. So yeah, they're probably just going to give them a slice of the game, let them play for 3 hours. I expect it'll be early on in the game, so it won't spoil too much. You know how PR works. There'll be a lot of NDA stuff that they are allowed to talk about. They aren't allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
They'll obviously put a date on it, which I'm still just going by the rumors. So I'm assuming it'll probably be early next year, like February next year.
So away from the holidays then.
Well, yeah, it's PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
You know, when you say holidays, you mean 2020 or you're talking this year?
No, this year.
No, they would have put a release date on it way if it was.
That's true. Now you're right.
Said a long time ago.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, I think it comes out early next year before they announce PlayStation 5 officially. This will kind of be the swan song for PlayStation 4, and then shortly after, that's when we're going to get a PlayStation 5 reveal, and then you know we just go through the whole cycle through 2020 until PlayStation 5 comes out. You know, probably in November.
Mm.
2020, but yeah, I just think probably February comes out. I'm fully expecting it to just be an amazing experience. You know, I see no reason why it wouldn't be. It's Naughty Dog; they got the pedigree, and yeah, like I said, swan kind of like Gears 5 was a swan song for Xbox One. I think Last of Us 2 would be a swan song for PlayStation 4, which actually brings up if it is kind of the last thing we're going to see for PlayStation 4. I do think it's pretty fitting. And it kind of cements PlayStation 4 when we just look at the legacy of just video game generations and all that. PlayStation 4, the games that have come on that console, probably some of the best we've seen in the history of video games.
Yeah, I agree.
As a whole, if you look at the title, you look at the new IPs that launched, you look at the sequels that came, the reboots that they were able to do through this console generation. I mean, fantastic. I mean, like I said, we got a new IP with Horizon Zero Dawn, which just looks to be just the next big thing for PlayStation IP-wise. They were able to reboot and reimagine God of War. Amazing. We got two Uncharted games during this generation, which were both fantastic.
Yeah.
Like I said, it looks like we're going to get The Last of Us 2 to end it. Death Stranding, whatever the hell that's going to be, is happening. You know, during this generation, you know, the list goes on. So it's been good. And look, everything's not been great. I mean, look at, what was it? The Order 1886 or whatever it was called. That game was like 5 minutes long and it was over, right? Even though it looked good.
Yeah. Yeah. The game looks amazing. Yeah.
What was that driving game they had? Drive Club.
Remember
Hip Hop Gamer?
Calling it the best racing game of all time.
He's still on that hill. He's going to die on that hill.
Yo, they even cut the servers on. Like offline now. But here's the thing. I think that, you know, PlayStation 4 has been around now longer than the Nintendo Switch. But let me tell you, Paris, I think Nintendo Switch is slowly getting up there, man, on top of, like, PlayStation. No, when it comes to library.
Come on.
What?
You cannot compare the Switch having a couple years of success
to what PlayStation
4 has done since 2013.
Oh, dude, you didn't hear what I just said? I said that PlayStation has been longer, but I'm saying that it's going to take some time for Nintendo. Dude, Nintendo Switch has only been around like, what, 2-3 years?
I know, but that's my point, Danny. The generation's over. We're in like the last 6 months of the generation, and then PlayStation and Xbox moving on to the next thing. So I honestly get what you're saying, but I don't think it's fair to put the – Nintendo is in their own category, man. They don't it's not a competition with them. They're doing something completely different than what PlayStation and Xbox is doing. They came into this – pretty late after the failure of the Wii U. Yes, The Switch is doing some amazing stuff. There are some amazing titles on the Switch, but honestly, I don't think it's fair to Nintendo and their strategy and their direction to compare them head to head on what PlayStation and Xbox has been doing. In my opinion, look, just my opinion.
Hey, I have my opinion. You have yours, and we move on. All right. now. The last topic I want to bring up, because I think this is very important, and we've been talking about this for years. So, I don't know if you've been reading the leaks that's been going on about E3 2020, Paris. And as
I don't want to go to E3. I really don't.
But wait.
Honestly, if I didn't live here, I wouldn't go.
Wait a second. So, the ESA is trying to change this as a Gamescom event. So first day will be for the press, then have more the consumers after that, which makes sense. I think you even said that was like the best experience ever for you. But here's the only issue that I have about this is that at Gamescom, I know the conversation we're having this before, there's a whole section that the media just chill there. They don't have to deal with the crowd at all. The thing that I'm afraid is there's going to be companies that they can't afford to have a booth and also a meeting room for the press. I have a feeling that they might just have a booth and that's it, where the crowd is at. So how are we going to deal with an additional 10,000 people, non-press badges to show up, which I think in total is going to be 25,000 consumers could attend this event next year. So it's going to be complicated. There's going to be companies, of course, is going to have both, that we're only going to be dealing with them maybe at the medium rooms section. But there's some, they just don't have the budget unless they have it offsite at a hotel room, which I think is a lot better for all of us. You know what I'm saying? So as a person that went to Gamescom this year, a couple weeks ago, do you think this is the right move for the ESA? Because if you look at the stats, because I looked online, Paris, to see how many people actually showed up to different trade shows, and you're going to be surprised with this one, Paris. So Gamescom is number one, over 373,000. There's another one in China called China Joy, 365,000. The Brazil Games Show in 2018 was over 325,000. Paris Game Show, 316,000. Tokyo Game Show, in this year, 2019, 262,000. And there's another one called G-Star Korea, last year was 235,000. Guess how much was E3 this past year?
What is 65,000? 66,000. Yeah.
So is this the right move for E3?
No.
So what did you do?
Here's the thing. Like now that I can say it because I've experienced both, going to Gamescom, yes, it is huge. And obviously, like you said, 360,000 people came through there, right? They had a dedicated media day where I was actually able to walk around the show floor, go to the various halls, see everything. But then they also had that dedicated business area, which, dude, the business area by itself is bigger than E3. This is what I'm trying to tell you, how big this is, right? That itself is even bigger than E3, where it's just the media, just the press, and just people doing, obviously, business stuff and all that. And then the public has their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
The LA Convention Center is not structured to handle this. It's not, because you're basically telling everyone to be upstairs in the meeting rooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you want all the press, everyone, all just upstairs all day, and we never go down into West Hall or South Hall. That's not going to work. Xbox, remember, ain't there. They ain't coming back.
They're not staying their own thing. Yeah.
They're going to keep doing their own thing.
And honestly, Paris, that was amazing.
Are we sure PlayStation's coming back? I'm still not convinced they're coming back.
Not this year. Maybe next year.
That's what I'm saying. 2020 is PlayStation 5. Yeah. I'm still not convinced that they're coming back into West Hall or wherever they were to show off PlayStation 5. They probably do something offsite as well. Dude, they're grasping at straws at this point.
Yeah.
These are things that they should have done 5 years ago. And I'm telling you, another thing about Gamescom is they got the traffic flows down pat because they've been doing this for so long. They know how to handle all these extra people.
Yeah, no, agreed.
I remember that first day the public came into E3. That was, I have a picture of, I actually found a picture. I should post it online.
You should. You should.
Where you see my face and then you just see all these people behind me and I just look stressed. I'm like, oh my God.
But that year was stressful, Paris, because I remember that security was letting people in with regular badges and the press. And now you can't go in. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm press. I have to cover a game. I have a meeting.
And that's my other point of it being of them not having a dedicated area where the press just goes. Because like you said, if there's a particular game, like a smaller publisher or developer or whatever, where I have to actually go to their booth on the show floor.
Yeah.
And let's say my appointment's at 1 p.m., I probably need to start heading over there like at noon just to make sure I can get in there, fight through the lines to get in. Dude, look, this is grasping at straws. And I know people hear this, they're going to get mad at me for saying this, but it's just the truth. Just go ahead, take old Yeller out back and put her out of her misery. I'm so done with E3. I will go because I live here. If I had to hop on a plane, spend money for hotel accommodations and all that to go to E3, I'd tap out. I'm done. There's no reason to go.
Honestly, if you want a better experience for those that are content creators, I mean, it's going to be pricey. Not going to front. It's going to be pricey. Go to Gamescom. I think it will be a better experience. And plus, if you think about it, yo, you will be like the only person international there at Gamescom in Germany, and you meet a lot of the American companies there, and I think it will be a lot easier to cover games, man. It's super well organized over there, according to Paris. You know what I'm saying? So I've been hearing great feedback about Gamescom. So yeah, you should definitely do that, man. You know, anything else, Paris, before we wrap it up?
No, I mean, I would just comment on what you were saying. I go, yeah, if I had to choose, if you take money out of the equation, I had to choose between E3 and Gamescom, I'd go to Gamescom. It's just way more organized. The structure's a lot better. Yes, there's a ton of freaking people there, but the way it's done for you getting your job done and getting from appointment to appointment, way better than what E3 currently is. The biggest mistake the ESA ever made was letting the public into E3. What they should have did is, because I, and again, I wasn't going during this time, but I seem to remember late 90s, early 2000s, they used to have E3 used to have weekends so the public could go. They need to go. They need to give the media a couple days where it's just us. Let us do our thing. Then you give the public to let them come in. And if the media wants to hang around and get in there and do stuff, that's fine. But if you give me 2 days to do what I got to do, I think that's the fair compromise.
So, all right, Paris, I'm going to wrap it up here, and we definitely will stay in touch. And then for the next daily conversation, we recording this Sunday?
We'll record Sunday.
So, yeah, we'll do that. All right, Paris, we'll definitely talk. And I start playing Borderlands 3. Right now, I think on level 10. It's good. It's good.
I give a spoiler alert for Sunday. I don't like Borderlands 3, but I knew I wouldn't anyway.
Okay,
so, there you go. Fine. We'll talk about Sunday.
I like it, and you don't. And we'll debate. We'll debate next week. All right, Paris.
All right. Peace.
All right, later, man. Take care.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so let's go back 18 years ago. Over 18 years ago. Just imagine. Young college student trying to get into the gaming industry with his tape recorder gets invited to go to the Nintendo GameCube event called Cube Club that was here in New York City. I was extremely nervous, didn't know what the hell I was doing. Not only I interviewed people that were in line at the event, but I also spoke to a Nintendo rep, and we talked about a lot of things. My questions was kind of off because, honestly, guys, look, I was very nervous. It was my second time interviewing somebody from the gaming industry because the first time was with Xbox, and It was very, very interesting. Very interesting dealing with that type of stuff, man. So, but please let me know what you think. I'm planning to post more Throwback Thursdays content. I just got to be looking around. I'm trying to find like good ones, that stuff that we probably totally forgot about from way back in the days. So we'll see. But yeah, please send me your feedback. Let me know what you think. And bear with me. This audio is pretty bad because, one, I recorded on a tape recorder. Plus, I put music. I don't know why. And I can't find the original file. I just found this. But the ones with the crowd, it's actually pretty good. You know, everybody gives like their feedback about the Nintendo GameCube and everything. So stay tuned and hope you enjoy it. Only here on Gamer Tag Radio. Check it out.
We're here live in Q Club. What's your name?
Sam Hosier.
What do you do for Nintendo?
I'm a product tester, working in the testing department.
Right. How's the reaction so far for the event? We went on tour in different states.
I think it's been great so far. This is the fourth city we've done out of on the East Coast, and I think it's been great everywhere. Yeah.
So, which one has been like the biggest?
The biggest number I've had on this side of the U.S. is the Philadelphia. We're on South Street, which shows a lot of foot traffic and everything. But okay. The numbers here in New York have been huge so far as well.
You could tell us more about the GameCube hardware, people that don't know.
Basically, it's a new system from Nintendo that's coming out to replace the Nintendo 64. Mm-hmm. Uses a DVD, a 3-inch DVD that'll hold 1.5 gigs of data.
Okay.
So it's got a whole new set of games, and as you can tell by the graphics, it's a big improvement.
So far, yeah. I like Star Wars, really, really good game. Smash Brothers 2. What other games are Nintendo planning to release after launch?
After launch, we're going to have next year, we're going to have the Kobe Bryant coming out next year.
Okay.
Pikmin comes out right after launch. It's not a launch title, but it ships within a couple days after launch. Eternal Darkness is scheduled for next year, and then, of course, there's a Mario game in the works, and then a Zelda game in the works.
Yeah, can you give us more information about the Mario, Sunshine, and Zelda?
I just have... No more than what press releases have said.
Okay. What about the online part from GameCube?
Yeah, I know we have the online capability. We have a broadband adapter that will plug in underneath the system for a high-speed data connection, and then there's also a dial-up connection available. It's a plug-in module that will plug in. Nintendo hasn't announced anything that's using that yet. First, you have to have the numbers before you can start using that.
Okay.
So as soon as they get a lot of people have the system at home, and then it's feasible, they'll start.
You can tell us more about the connection with the Game Boy Advance with the GameCube too?
Absolutely. First game that's supposed to do that is going to be Kirby next year. And basically, you can use the Game Boy Advance as a secondary controller or as your controller.
Okay.
Basically, you use the Game Boy Advance, you've got your own screen, so you can do different things on your screen that if you're playing against somebody else, they have no idea what you're doing. Like right now, if you're playing, for instance, like a football game, they know you picked a set of plays. They know what set you picked. Like they can see that you picked a shotgun formation. They know that. And then when you pick shotgun, it shows you the three plays down below. Your competitor will know you picked one of those three. But if you're using the Game Boy Advance in the future, they wouldn't have no idea what you picked.
So next week is a big week for both companies, Microsoft and Nintendo. Do you have any reaction or anything to say about that?
It's going to be for gamers. I'm a gamer, so I love it. You know, it's great to have all the attention that we're getting in the next couple weeks. We launch on the 18th, which is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, so we'll have a huge Christmas season.
Absolutely. You want to say anything on fans out there that haven't tried the GameCube?
Got to check it out. That's why we're out here, so you can see the video games.
Come. You're going to be here till Saturday, right?
Yeah, we're here on Saturday. We close at 3, and then there's a private MTV party after that. Got to check it out, because that's why we're out here, so you can see how good the games actually are.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks.
Welcome. This is Godfrey live at GameCube Cube Club. What's your name? Where are you from?
Mike, from New York.
How's the reaction so far to GameCube?
It's pretty hot. Great graphics.
You're playing Pikmin. Is it kind of confusing so far?
Yeah, it's confusing for now. I just got on and I'm not sure what to do. But I'm going to get it soon.
So what do you think of this game so far?
It's pretty hot. I'd say it'll be a good launch game.
All right. So, I'm confused right now. I mean, you actually just collecting Pikmin, right? That's what you have to do right now?
I'm trying to gather them. Gather Pikmin.
Okay. So what do you think of the GameCube, the size and the control? You feel comfortable with it?
The control's mad comfy.
You plan to get GameCube or Xbox next week?
I'm getting GameCube. Oh, definitely GameCube not too? Xbox, yeah.
What kind of games are you planning to get for the GameCube then next week?
I was thinking of Star Wars and Wavers.
You tried Star Wars already?
I'm gonna try it right after.
You gotta try it, man. It's pretty good, pretty good. All right, man. Thanks, man. All right, we live, ladies and gentlemen, live over here at Cube Club. And we're gonna check out the reaction of the people right now. Let's see what's going on. Hey man, what's your name? Where you from?
My name is Edwin Perez. I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
All right. So what do you think of the GameCube, man?
It's pretty good. I think, to tell you the truth, I think it was a little bit better than the Xbox in some of the graphics.
Okay.
I'm probably like in the minority about that, but. Because I went to the Xbox thing down in New York, and it was disappointing. Yeah, it was disappointing. This, they got the HDTVs, and it just like, make everything like awesome.
What do you think of Luigi Mansion?
It's all right.
It's all right?
Pretty good for a launch game.
You plan to get GameCube next week?
Yeah, it's $100 less than that.
Save money right there.
Yeah, that's why. Right.
And you want to say anything to the fans that haven't played GameCube yet?
You know, you gotta do research, try and play the games wherever you can. And if you like it, get it.
All
if
right.
not, then...
All right, cool. Are we going to get more fans' reaction right here in the Q Club? What's your name? Where you from?
My name is Melissa. I'm from Long Island.
So what do you think of the GameCube so far?
I think it's cool.
You think it's cool?
Yeah.
The control, is it comfortable now, the control?
I don't know. I have to get used to it. There's so many buttons.
Are you planning to get the GameCube next week?
Yeah.
What games are you planning to get?
I want Luigi's Mansion and Pikmin.
Oh, Pikmin. You played Pikmin before? You haven't tried it?
I was playing it before.
Nobody knows what you have to do in there.
I'm trying to figure out how to throw them to hit the enemies, but it's fun.
So what do you think of the Xbox? You haven't played it yet? Any reaction?
I saw it, but I like Nintendo better.
Nintendo?
Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get more feedback right now from... We're in the GameCube Crew Club. What's your name? Where you from?
Chris. I'm from the Bronx.
The Bronx? Yo. So what do you think of the GameCube so far?
Loving it, man. I'm loving it. Loving it. It ain't nothing that I've seen before. It looks way better than the PS2 so far. Right. And I'm loving the game. It's just like playing the movies, Star Wars.
All right. Oh, Star Wars. This your first time trying out Star Wars?
Yeah, for the GameCube, yes. I played it for other system. I went and played it for the PS2, and they don't compare. No way.
No way?
No way, man.
Yo,
no way.
Speaking of other systems, have you tried the Xbox?
Yeah, I was at the Metrodome. I played the Xbox.
So what do you think of the Xbox and GameCube next week, the big fight?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the GameCube, this is the only game that I've seen so far that is made for people my age. Because most of the other games are like little kiddie games. That's the only thing I think the Xbox has over the GameCube. But so far, graphically, the GameCube is winning it. Because I play like most of the games on the Xbox, and I like the couple, but nothing look compared to this. No way.
Yo, so what do you think of the design of the GameCube and the control?
Loving it.
It's nice, right?
Yes. The system, the house tiny, and the control feels wonderful. That's what I hate about the Xbox. It's feeling like a potato in your hand. It was huge, man.
Yeah.
But I'm loving it, man. So far, I'm feeling it totally, man.
So what you want to say to people that haven't even tried the GameCube yet?
They gotta pick it up. I wasn't sure myself until I came here to play. That's why I came. This is the only game I wanted to play, really. Because all the other games I played, I got the Japanese system.
Okay.
So this is, I couldn't play this, so I just wanted to feel this, and this shit is awesome. You gotta pick it up.
All right, man. But that's a lot, man, all right? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're live over here in the Cube Club. So far, the Cube Club looks wonderful right now with a lot of people playing different games. Star Fox, Madden 2002, Wave Race, also Super Monkey Ball, and Luigi Mansion. We're gonna get more fans' reaction in a few minutes, all right? Game Boys. Are we live in the GameCube? Yo, what's your name? Where you from?
I'm Valdez from the Bronx.
Yo, what game you playing right now?
Monkey Ball.
So what do you think of the game and the GameCube?
It's hot. It's incredible. So check out many games that they have. They have Monkey Ball, Rogue Leader, incredible game, Pikmin, hot.
Have you tried any other games for the GameCube so far that you like?
I tried all of them and they're all great.
So what do you think of the control or the GameCube?
The control's simple and it's nice. It fits perfect in your hand.
So have you played any Xbox games that you think, what do you think of the Xbox so far?
I haven't played any, but I prefer the GameCube over the Xbox so far.
Any last words to anybody that haven't played the GameCube?
To play it, to come down here to this club. We got a couple more days left. Come down here, try it out.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks a lot. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're live over in Kim Club. What's your name? Where you from?
Richard. I'm from New York, the Bronx.
So what do you think so far of the GameCube?
I think it's great. I mean, the graphics are awesome. The game's really fast. There's no slowdown at all. I mean, I'm totally amazed by just looking at some of these games and playing Monkey Ball right now.
This game is Super Monkey Ball. What do you think so far of the game, though?
It's pretty good. It's fun. You know, I didn't think I was going to like it, you know, but I really like it a lot now.
Really, it's really kind of addicting, though, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a lot of fun.
You haven't had any problems yet with the control, right?
Huh?
You haven't had any problems with the control yet, right?
No, not at all. It melts into your hands. It's true what they say all over the internet. It feels so comfortable.
Yeah, it is well designed and everything.
Yeah.
So are you planning to get a GameCube next week?
Yeah, definitely.
What games are you planning to get?
I already ordered Rogue Squadron. I have it at home.
That game is out of this world, man. It's crazy. Yeah. I know, but that's a lot, man.
All right,
man. Yeah, we're live over here at GameCube Club. What's your name?
Ricky.
Where you from?
The Bronx.
Bronx. So you're playing Luigi Mansion so far. What do you think of the game?
It's great. It's a great game.
What was it about so far? I haven't played the game, so I don't know.
Okay, well, the lighting effects are great. One of the first things. It's a little hard to get used to the control, but other than that, it's really fun. I mean, you know, the more you play, the more you get into it.
Yeah. Mario's not in this game, though, right? Or you gotta look for him or something?
Yeah, Mario's actually in the house somewhere, like abducted by the ghost, so you have to rescue him. So you have to go through all the house.
So how's the control for that game?
Well, the control for the game?
For the game.
Well, it's very accurate. So it's very point. I mean, it's really good. But you gotta get used to it. This is for the light, and this is for the directional pad. So it's kind of funny, you know. You gotta get a little bit used to it. But other than that, when you get used to it, you get into it.
Are you planning to get this game during launch?
Yeah, I already pre-ordered this one.
I pre-ordered
this one and Rogue Squad.
That's the game right there, You tried Rogue Squadron so far?
Yes, I already did.
Man, that game is incredible so far, man. That's like my favorite game so far.
But I like this one. I think it's very cute, you know. I mean, I have a little brother, but I think I'll have fun playing this, you know. That's a fun factor to it. It's kind of funny. It made me laugh a couple of times already.
Have you tried other games like Pikmin and...
I haven't tried any other games yet.
No?
I have. Oh, I tried on Smash Bros.
How is that game?
That's very good. Excellent. Excellent game.
I was trying it. The control was kind of funny.
You gotta get used to it again, you know. Yeah. They move some of the controls, they move them around, so you gotta get used to the control. But other than that, it's very comfortable.
You wanna say anything to people that haven't tried the GameCube yet?
Well, I'll tell you what, for less money, I mean, it's $200, you get more for your buck. One thing. Plus, you have the exclusive games for the Nintendo, which you can't get on the Xbox or the PS2. So regardless, let's say if you have an Xbox or you have a PS2, you should get this one. You won't get GameCube.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, man. We're live over here in the Q Club. What's your name? Where you from?
Austin, New York City.
What do you think of Eternal Darkness? I haven't tried it yet.
I mean, what I think of it is it better come out now because this, you know, this
it's
is
good, pretty good.
Yeah.
How's the control for that game?
Right now, it's pretty responsive. I mean, it's far more responsive than anything Resident Evil has to offer. And I don't know, it's just intuitive. It's very intuitive, very comfortable. You know, everything flows smoothly.
Are you planning to get a GameCube or the Xbox next week?
Xbox, no. GameCube, yeah. I already pre-ordered my GameCube, so.
What game is this one?
Nah, because this one doesn't come out for yet. This one comes out in February.
All right.
So, what am I getting? I'm getting Rogue Leader, Luigi's Mansion, and Wave Race.
Have you tried those games yet?
Nah, I haven't. I'm about to.
You should try the Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's the bomb.
I'm looking forward to that.
Right, any last words to people that haven't tried the GameCube yet?
Try it now. That's all I gotta say.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
All right. Are we live in the Cube Club? What's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Dominic. I'm from Brooklyn.
So what do you think of Wave Race for GameCube?
Pretty good. I already have it pre-ordered, so I'm just giving it a quick try out before I buy it, make sure I get it.
How's the control for this game so far?
It's all right. It's a little tough, like, in the beginning. In a couple of minutes, I'm sure I'll be able to get a hand of that.
You playing with a little friend right here?
Actually, my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend? All right. So how I mean, how the reaction so far of the GameCube?
Pretty good. Star Wars was awesome. Yeah, that's all I got to play. I got a little of Pikmin a little to play, and it was all right. Pretty good, too. But I'm going to go back later and play that again.
So you plan to get Xbox also?
I have everything pre-ordered already.
Oh, you're ready then. You're set.
I'm done.
What games are you getting for that system?
For what, Xbox?
Yeah.
I got Halo. I got NFL Fever. I got Dead or Alive. And I got a couple other games. I got... What was the other ones I ended up getting? Most of them was like Project Gotham Racing and just a couple of things like that.
Have you tried the football game for GameCube?
I didn't play it yet.
You
know, I'm probably gonna. Was it Madden right over here
Madden,
they have?
Yeah.
I don't really like Madden. I didn't like it on PlayStation.
Oh,
so,
right.
But that's why I got Fever for Xbox.
Any last words for anybody who haven't tried the GameCube yet?
I'd probably get it before I get the Xbox, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Clever.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're still here in Q Club. What's your name? Where you from?
Andre Cooper from the Bronx.
So what do you think of the GameCube and Star Wars so far?
Well, to be honest, I'm just starting right now playing it.
Right now? So, okay. All right, you can try it out. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, the control for the GameCube, you think it's a little weird, comfortable? What? Your reaction so far?
With the what?
The control for the GameCube.
No, I don't think it's weird, no.
I mean, if it's well-designed, if it's comfortable, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's comfortable, yeah.
Yeah. So are you planning to get the GameCube with this game or Star Wars?
What?
Are you planning to get this game, Star Wars, and GameCube?
Maybe.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's see. He's going to try out right now. He's going to try out putting his name right now. He's trying.
Yeah, trying.
But we're live over here in Q Club. A lot of people over here, you know, chilling, playing some games for the GameCube before it comes out next week. And definitely. Yeah, so we're gonna get some reaction, people reacting to so far and everything. Let's see. We'll be right back. What's your name? Where you from?
Sean, and I'm from the Manhattan.
Right, so what do you think of Smash Brothers for the GameCube?
I think it's gonna be the best game ever.
What kind of games do you think you're gonna get for the GameCube if you get a GameCube? Before Smash Bros.
I'm getting Luigi's Mansion, Wave Race, Monkey Ball, and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3.
Have you tried Star Wars?
Yeah.
So what do you think of Star Wars?
I like it a lot, but I don't want to buy it because my friend's getting it.
I
just don't buy flight games mostly.
So what do you think of other systems that's coming out next week? Xbox, what do you think of that?
I think it's a really good piece of hardware. It doesn't appeal to me because all I want is Halo right now and Dead or Alive 3. Those are the only two games. I don't see many games coming out for a while that I want. I don't know.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. We're live up here in the Q Club. We've got my man right here from the Xbox Unleashed. What's your name, man?
Marvin.
Yo, what's going on, kid? Ever since Xbox Unleashed, what happened? What's going on?
I've been waiting for my Xbox to come in the mail.
Oh, yeah, mine too. Don't worry about that. Oh, we got a fan right here, man. What's your name? Where you from?
Tennyson. I'm from New Rochelle.
So what do you think of the GameCube, man?
I think it's going to be the best system out there, though.
You think it's going to be better than a PS2 and Xbox? And why?
Yeah, probably, but PS2's got a year head start, so really do much.
What games are you looking for on the GameCube?
Star Fox, Star Wars, Mario, Zelda, pretty much the classics everyone else is looking for.
You haven't played the demos up in the stores for GameCube?
Yeah, I work at the store. I work at the TR, the Toys R Us, and White.
Right, what games they have over there for available for demo?
We have Wave Race, we have Luigi's Mansion, and we have Star Wars.
So what do you think of the new look of Zelda? What do you think?
I was disappointed at first because it was too cartoon. I saw the video. I was impressed, and I'm waiting for it now because it's beautiful now. It looks beautiful.
Nintendo's making a lot of changes. Like Metroid also is making a lot of changes. You know, you think it's a good thing that changing certain games and stuff.
It may or may not be a good idea, but they got to try something new because they said that if they stayed with the way they were, they would have stagnated and everyone else would have copied them, and then that would have been crap.
True.
Yeah, so they gotta change. They gotta keep changing.
Let's see what else. Who else is over here? Oh, you wanna get an interview? What's up? My man, why you gonna get an interview? What's your name? Where you from, man?
West Uptown.
So what games are you waiting for? GameCube?
Star Fox Dinosaur Planet.
You've been talking about Star Fox for a long time. Have you played any other game for GameCube yet?
Not
demo wise?
Nah, just got that little.
Oh, that little CD, preview CD.
Yeah.
Which one you think it looks so far? Not Star Fox, but other games that's not Star Fox. It looks pretty good.
Melee, however you pronounce it.
Well, which one? Which one is that?
Smash Brothers?
Alright.
Melee.
Yeah, Melee, yeah.
Say Smash Brothers no more.
What happened, son?
When they talk about Smash Brothers now, they don't say Melee. They don't even say the whole name of the game no more.
Yeah. Wait, you were there on the Xbox Unleashed when these people showed up over there. You think that was a good move for Nintendo did? Or you just show up in the party and shit?
I think it was a good move because since the Xbox is that they said, let's go and get some customers for ours.
Yeah. And they were saying, come on, play some real games. You think that's a good move, what Nintendo did?
Some people commented on it and said it was childish, like the children that they're trying to, you know, gear toward. But
Well,
I think that was a great move. That's just guerrilla tactics. That's just going in there and you attack them right where they stand.
True. So what happened if Microsoft does the same thing to them tonight?
Well, we're inside.
All right, true.
Yeah.
We're going to see what's going on inside. This is Godfrey. What happened?
You got to do what you got to do.
Of course.
They better have some free drinks and free food.
Free Taco Bell. You remember that? All right, y'all. We're going to see inside. We're live over here in the Q Club. My people, so we're still online right now. Yo, you want to get an interview? It's cool about the GameCube. Okay. Well, what's your name and where you from?
I'm John, and I'm from Union, New Jersey.
What about you?
Sean from the same.
Same. So what do you think of the GameCube, man?
I think it's pretty cool.
You haven't tried any games for the GameCube yet?
I played Rogue Squadron for like 5 minutes at Toys R Us.
I haven't seen that game. How's the game?
It looks like the movie.
Soundtrack crazy too and everything?
It was Toys R Us. I couldn't hear it.
Oh my god. But inside we're gonna try it out. Any other games you expecting to play tonight?
I want to see Pikmin.
I heard it's a good strategy game or something. Is it a strategy game?
Yeah, it's a strategy game, but it's made by Miyamoto, so it's gonna be good.
Very creative then. You know how it is.
He's the gaming god.
True. So what do you think of GameCube and Xbox coming out next week? Which system you think you're going to pick up? If you're picking any system or not?
Well, I'm going to get GameCube because I don't need a DVD player and because I already have one. And it's $200 and I like the 4-player better than the Xbox.
All right, any last words you want to say to the fans out there that haven't tried on GameCube? No?
No.
All right, no comment. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. Yo, right now we're outside. Just, you know, we couldn't record inside the GameCube crew club. No, they were hating on me, but probably tomorrow I'll get some press pass or something. Yeah. So tell me, man, how was the reaction of Xbox and now you're going to the GameCube one?
All right, well, so far what I'm noticing is I'm getting bad reactions on the GameCube thing, saying that it's kind of boring. I mean, if I compare, I was at the Xbox thing and I Unleashed was just excitement, pure excitement. It was just fun, adrenaline pumping.
This is not.
There's no food, no drinks.
No restaurant.
Only books. Many books and stickers.
Books, exactly.
And a little puzzle. All right, man, so what's the reaction now that you're out of the Q Club?
Right now, I think the GameCube is terribly horrible. I think that they couldn't have, again...
I mean, no. They got some good games, man.
They do have some good games. But then again,
for launch,
you know... For launch-wise, Pikmin... what the hell is Pikmin, you know? It makes no sense. That video game makes no sense.
What were you like? What games you like so far?
Well, one game I seen, a couple of games I seen, you know, was Star Wars. What was the other one?
Smash Brothers.
Eternal Darkness. That was kind of hot.
Eternal Darkness was hot?
Super Smash Brothers.
Super Monkey Ball, man.
Yeah. Super Monkey Ball, too.
Top of the list right now.
That's because Sega made that, you know. And Nintendo, this is Nintendo GameCube.
Yo, I am not feeling Luigi Mansion, son. I don't know what.
I know they got a fucking vacuum.
Sorry, I am not feeling like
house.
Yo, that's like Ghostbusters.
It's Ghostbusters style.
Yo, Leo, third place winner of the Xbox Unleashed. Tell me, you getting ready for your Xbox this week, man? It's coming in the mail very, very soon. With 12 games, I believe.
Yeah.
They give you 12
games.
Yo, son, we're getting free games. We're getting a free Xbox.
What's the killer?
What's the killer? I was there until 10 o'clock.
Damn, you better chill out.
I had just missed it. I went home.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, we're back here, Gamertag Radio. Thank you so much for listening to the latest episode of GTR. Hope you like it. And please send us your feedback, and here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All All right, stay tuned. We're going to have more episodes, more content here. GTR, stay tuned. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.